Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. We kick off in the construction industry this week, and particularly with Avenge, where subsidiary McConnell Dowell has reminded us that construction companies are really just one disaster away from a collapse in profitability. And this time, unfortunately, the culprit is a project in Southeast Asia. The client in that project has called on the project guarantees, which have now been settled by the company's bankers in Australia. Practically, this means that McConnell Dowell now needs to negotiate payment terms with its bankers. But on top of that, the pain is not actually over on this contract. It still needs to be finished. The losses are significant after the construction delays during and after the pandemic. Large enough, in fact, that both McConnell Dowell and Avenge will report an operating loss for the year ending June 2023. Avenge's share price got hammered on the day of the announcement and recovered slightly the next day, posting a drop of around 23% for the week. Ouch. Avenge's balance sheet does seem to be okay at least, so this is likely a once-off hit and the company should be able to suck it up and move on, which is unfortunately what shareholders will have to do. PSG Consult, and that's with a K, is an excellent business. The latest numbers have shown that once more, with assets under management, or AUM, up by 13% in the year ended February 2023. Now, that is particularly impressive against a backdrop of horrible equity markets over the past year or so. The company obviously cannot control the markets, but it can control how well the distribution side of the business is going about its job of raising assets. Although AUM grew so strongly, a drop in performance fees this year meant that recurring headline earnings per share, or HEPS, only increased by 5%. The floods in KZN also didn't help matters at all here, driving a drop in recurring HEPS in PSG Insure of 4%, despite a strong reinsurance program there to cushion the blow of an event like the flood. The real story here, though, was the dividend, up 13% as the payout ratio was increased. Companies don't increase their payout ratios unless they are feeling pretty confident, so that's an encouraging sign for shareholders. If you follow any of the luxury goods groups like Richemont locally or LVMH and perhaps Ferrari internationally, you need to keep an eye on what is happening in China. This is a critical market for luxury goods, with a particular focus on sales to passengers in airports. I can't think of a more ludicrous example of consumerism than a casual spur-of-the-moment purchase of a timepiece that costs the same as a family car, but it is what it is. In an Anglo-American announcement regarding latest sales cycle results from De Beers, there was a passing comment about how demand is picking up in China. It's not just for diamonds either, with global luxury giant LVMH reporting really strong sales in the same week. Again, China was the big driver here. With Richemont up 32% this year already, the market is clearly excited about the story around demand recovery in that region, and it does seem to be playing out as hoped. We move now from fancy handbags and diamond rings to tin. It's a lot less glamorous, but it is fabulously profitable when conditions work out. In the quarter ended March, which they compared to the immediately preceding 3 months rather than a year ago, Alphamin's ore processed fell by 10%. Now that may sound like the start of a horror movie in mining, but actually not this time. Recovery rates went in the right direction, so tin production was actually up 2% to a record level. Sales increased by 1%. That's not a horror movie, but it's hardly a fairy tale either. The really good news, though, that does make this a happy story is that the average tin price went up 23%, leading to spectacular EBITDA of $41.4 million versus $27.1 million in the preceding quarter. The balance sheet has lots of cash on it despite paying a big dividend, and the company is investing in the Mpama South project. Things are looking good at Alphamin. Now, absolutely everybody hates going to the dentist, but Universal Partners has put plenty of money behind this industry and with great results. We all have teeth, of course, which is the first reason why dentistry is probably not a terrible investment to start with. Scaling these businesses, though, is not easy. Yet Universal Partners is merging its interest in Dentex with Portman Dental Care, creating one of the largest dental care platforms in Europe. The merged group has over 350 practices in the UK, and will also have operations in 5 European countries. This has been a fantastic investment for Universal Partners, having invested £32.3 million in Dentex since 2017. The structure of this deal sees the company getting back 94% of that amount in cash and retaining the remaining exposure in equity and shareholder loans in the merged entity. The investment has more than doubled in value over this period, and there was a rather large pandemic in the middle of it, lest we forget. That is an impressive example of shareholder value creation. Speaking of shareholder value creation, there's a pretty smart deal coming out of Storage, the property fund that certainly does what it says on the tin. The company is dependable and offers different exposure to the REITs that are focused on retail, industrial, or office property, as Storage holds, as you might expect, storage properties. This means that it tends to trade at a high valuation. Now, justifying a high valuation requires the company to keep finding ways to drive return on equity and growth in earnings, so innovation is needed pretty much all the time. I was impressed by a deal in the UK that will see Storage put down just 10% of the capital value, with a yield on investment of 15%. Now, a yield like that is not achievable through just going and buying a rental stream. The trick here is that Storage is also managing the property and earning fees for that. So with just 10% of the capital amount, the company scores exposure to a share of the rental income plus fees for managing the entire property. The joint venture partner on these 4 properties is Nuveen Real Estate, a huge global real estate investor. Now, this makes the news even better in my books, as Nuveen is clearly a capital allocator looking for a more operational partner, and that is where Storage steps up. Storage's shareholders should feel good about what they are seeing here. Back in September, Sappi announced the sale of 3 European graphic paper mills to Aurelius Investment. The mills are in the Netherlands, Germany, and Finland. It's an instant EU business, just add water. Unfortunately, Aurelius couldn't add water in the end, or even meet the condition in the agreement of coming to terms with a separation and transitional services plan with Sappi, despite that impressive Roman-inspired name. The deal has fallen through now, and the Sappi share price fell along with it, closing 5.75% lower on the day of the news. Sappi will need to find a new buyer now. And finally, Glencore is still trying hard to woo the board of Teck Resources in Canada, and it just isn't working. After the initial proposal was unsuccessful, Glencore offered a combination of shares and cash that would enable Teck shareholders to entirely exit the fossil fuel exposure if they so desired. I felt that this was a sensible follow-up offer, but the Teck board still isn't interested. They actually note Glencore's ESG track record as one of the issues here. Is Glencore's historical bad behavior finally catching up with it? Perhaps at some point there really are problems that money can't solve. But of course, that doesn't mean that Glencore won't try. And that's a wrap. Remember, nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research.